see you on that. It's good, brother. Thank you. We're going to be in Psalm 4. And this is a continuation of what we were reading in Psalm 3. It's similar, and I want you to understand that tonight. I believe the context will be the same. So let's read even the introduction there. To the chief musician on Neginah, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, tonight we just come before your throne of grace. We want to thank you for this opportunity to open the scriptures tonight. We thank you for the book of Psalms, how it does encourage us, Lord. I pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, give us understanding tonight through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that if there be any needs in our midst, Lord, you know what everyone's going through. You know the difficulties. You know the distress, the discouragement. I pray, Lord, that this psalm will be a comfort and an encouragement to all of us tonight. We just want to thank you for your goodness and your love to us in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you look at the introduction there, this will be the first mention of the chief musician. And this is included in the titles of 53 psalms, the chief musician. And so the chief musician was the minister of worship and the custodian of the sacred psalms at the tabernacle and then in the temple. Of course, you have some references there. We will not take the time. If you want to go back and look at some of those references, that would be good. Now, the word Neginah means accompanied by stringed instruments. Here we have it in Psalm 4, then 6, 54, 55, 61, 67, and 76. And refers to the harp and lyre, stringed instruments, as we see back in 1 Chronicles 25. Now, as I mentioned, when you compare the wording, if you start reading Psalm 4 and you compare it with Psalm 3, you cannot but draw the conclusion that they deal with this same situation. Remember what David was going through. This is when his own son, Absalom, rose up against him and he had to flee. So if you compare some of these words, he talks about distress and foes. Many, the words many are there in verses 6 and 2. The word glory, verses 2 and 3. Call and answer, verses 1 and 4. And that's comparing Psalms, that is. Lie down and sleep, verses 8 and 5. So you see the comparison there. Isn't it amazing how David could turn this distressing situation, this distressing experience into a song? That should be amazing to us. And it does show what God can do in our lives in the most difficult times. That's what we need to learn here tonight. So his example shows us how to respond in times of distress, in times of crisis. Maybe you are in a crisis right now in your life. How are you responding? Maybe you are in distress for one reason or another. How are you responding? That's what we find in this psalm. And isn't that why we go to the Psalms so often? Because we identify with them. Amen? God has left them and preserved in the Word of God, inspired by God, to meet all of our needs in every circumstance of life. So let's look at our outline tonight. Obviously, I don't want to, or I don't think I could ever finish the whole psalm, but I want you to understand you do have the whole outline. We're not going to go through again what we did last week of trying to get everyone the paperwork on two occasions. So I made sure you had the whole study. That way next week you just bring it back and we'll continue on. So what should we do? Number one, and obviously it's going to be similar to Psalm 3. I didn't really take time to compare the notes. But number one, call on the Lord. Isn't that where we always start? Amen. When we're going through difficulties, when we're going through distress, we're to call on the Lord. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Hear me when I call. When's the last time you called on the Lord? And there's some reasons here that we need to call on the Lord. I think that first one is found right there after he says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. God is righteous. Amen. For he is righteous. And when we are right with the Lord, we're not afraid for God to act righteously. Amen. Is that too loud now? We don't need any more echoes. Amen. I would just turn that. Yes. Put it back to the middle. I guess I should have waited until. There we go. That should work. Amen. So David was a man who was able to say, Lord, judge me. Remember? Judge me according to my integrity. And I hope that we can also be willing to have God act in righteousness in our lives. That we have the courage and the confidence that we can walk with the Lord in such a way that we would not be afraid to say, Lord, act in righteousness here. Even if it means on me. So David was not afraid to call on God in righteousness. But David, in this situation, obviously he's running away. He's been treated unjustly. And he says, God, I want you to act righteously on my behalf. Obviously, we know what righteousness is, morally and ethically just, and God would never do anything contrary to his holy character. But we're thankful that we can go to God and
appeal to him in prayer based on his righteousness, based on his holy character, and know that he is going to do what is right, what is needed, what is necessary. And that's why David was so confident. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And so, is it not the same confidence that we need to act, we need to call on God in prayer, and he's going to bring about that which is right, that which is righteous against those, especially in David's case, those who falsely accused him. I think there's a lot to learn from David, and I was looking at that aspect of it. You know, often in churches and in leadership in church, you are falsely accused, you know. And how are you going to respond as a leader? This is a good example also that the Lord teaches leaders how to respond to these types of situations. So call on the Lord. Call, for he is righteous. B, call on him for relief. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. So when you think of distress, it's a narrow place. It's a tight place. That's what he's talking about here. And remember, how many times did God ever deliver David in the past? How many times has God ever delivered you? Just look back in your Christian life and you can call on him with confidence. That's what David, he's looking at his past experience. He says, but thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And he's sure when he's calling on God in this situation, God's going to do the same thing. And that enlarging means to set in a large place, to bring in an open place. You know, to bring liberty back to your life, freedom back to your life. When you are in distress, you're in a tight place and you feel smothered or constricted or even short of breath. So David says, bring me in the large place. And that's the pain. Really, I think he's describing what's going on in his soul, in his heart. Can you imagine your own son turning on you? What kind of pain did he have in his own spirit? And so, the only one that can relieve us from all this anxiety that we're facing is the Lord, amen? And really, distress chokes the life out of us. And so we need God to relieve us, amen? He's the only one that can enlarge us. Enlarge me. Lead me out of that tight spot, amen? That narrow place. That anxiety in my life. God can do it. God will do it. And David knew that because he experienced it. And then he calls on him for mercy. Have mercy upon me, let her see. Call on him for mercy. When you call, he is righteous. Know that. He's going to be the one giving you relief in your life. He's the one that's going to give you mercy in your life. Is not everything that we receive from God due to his mercy? Do we ever deserve his loving kindness? Do we ever deserve his assistance? His help? And mercy means to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior. And that's what God does to us. He stoops down to us who deserve probably punishment most of the time, judgment most of the time because of our sin and our foolishness going against God's word, the rebellion that we have. And God, instead of judging us, God gives us mercy. And it speaks of salvation, brethren. It's only through grace, it's only through mercy that we even have a relationship with God. There's no other way. God, Jesus left the glories of heaven. That's stooping down, amen. That's having mercy on us, human beings. And He helped us in our sinful estate. Call on Him for mercy. Letter D, call on Him to hear and answer our prayer. Hear my prayer. Hear me when I call. He starts out the verse 1. Then he says at the end, hear my prayer. You know, God, we're still, if you're saved, you are in a covenant relationship with God, just as David was. And we do know from the New Testament all of the promises, all of the invitations that were to come boldly to the throne of grace. Why is that? Because we know Jesus, amen? Because we've been brought into that relationship with God, and that's the way we ought to pray. We need to have full assurance in our prayer. We need to have faith. We need to understand God is really there for us. God wants to hear us. And David had that confidence, amen? Aren't you thankful the Lord's door is always open to you? Doesn't matter where you're at, what you're going through, He will hear us. Now, He will answer us, don't forget, according to His will. We have to ask according to His will. And so, God, look back in your life. Has God ever answered your prayers? Has God ever relieved you? Has God ever met your needs in the past? He's going to do it again. Think about every problem He has solved in your life. Think about every need He has provided in the past. Think about every sickness He's brought you through. He's healed. And all of that, as we look back, and David was looking back, it is just to encourage us and to remind us God is faithful. God is faithful. And He loves us enough to give us His Son. You know, go to Romans, hold your finger here. Look at that promise over in Romans 8, 32. So I am breaking in a new Bible, and I'm going to be leaving this in the pulpit. So ladies, or anyone who's cleaning, this will be my Bible here. And I'm going to leave it in the pulpit. I'm going to be preaching from this Bible. That way, it stays in good tact. My other Bible, the pages are falling out. And I'd rather just keep that for reading and this for preaching. So, please, you see this Bible, you know whose it is. I'll put my name in it. But I'm saying that because this is first time leafing through a lot of these pages. So you know how that is when you get a new Bible. You got to break it in. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely what? Give us what? All things. What does that mean? So if God is, He gave us His Son, amen, the greatest gift of all, why would He not give us other gifts or meet all of our spiritual needs if He gave us the greatest gift? That's what it's saying. That's the trust we must have in God. Let's go back to our text. So you must call on the Lord in prayer. Amen. That's the first place to start when you're responding to distress. When you have a difficult, straight place in your life and don't get all upset without calling on the Lord in prayer. That should be our first reaction, not our last. How many people come to this and say, you know, I wish I would have prayed about that first. Well, let's be wise enough just to do that first, every time. Take time to pray, even when you don't feel like it. Because we know we're not supposed to live according to our feelings, but according to the Word of God. Number two, confront the enemy. Confront the enemy. Now David here is turning from calling on the Lord to addressing his enemies on God's behalf. Now, remember, there are some different ways that David responds in prayer. We call them imprecatory prayers, where you're like praying God's judgment and God's wrath down on people. David did that in some of the Psalms, but I want you to notice there's a clear difference here. And again, this brings us back to the context. Who's he talking about? Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. I want you to remember this. He's praying for his own son. He's praying for those who anointed him king and somehow turned away from him. And they started supporting Absalom, his son, who was in rebellion. So they were his fellow countrymen. They were his former friends. They were even the leaders of his own administration and his own army. So what did he desire here? And I think we can learn from this. And obviously, again, I know I'm preaching to you, but obviously we preach to ourselves, amen, as preachers. Because there's some truth here about this. He did not desire their destruction, but their repentance. And I think that is probably the right response to all other Christians who heard us, church members who heard us, church members who are disciplined, because they were once our friends, they were once our fellow co-laborers, our fellow members. Instead of desiring their destruction, we need to desire their repentance, amen. But he did confront them. He did deal with it. Don't think that you do have to deal with problems, amen. That's the thing that we all need to understand. There's a right way and a wrong way, but you have to deal with it. It's not just going to go away to stop thinking about it. That's not the answer. Deal with it biblically, amen. So first of all, he wants them, he's asking, he says, oh, ye sons of men. And that is a Hebrew term that speaks to men of rank and leaders. Sons of men. So he's recognizing them. How long? That is his desire. How long? He wants them. That's an understanding. He's calling them to repent. Amen. To cease. How long are you going to keep doing this? So letter A. Turn from slander and ruin of God's king. Turn from slander and ruin of God's king. That's what he's calling them to do. How long will you turn my glory into shame? So what did Absalom do? He stole their hearts, and he used his influence to turn these people against King David. And they were slandering him and damaging his reputation. Doesn't that hurt? It hurts. And David realized, we do know back in Psalm 3, go back there, verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." So we see here that God, he knew that God was his glory, amen. But he's referring here to his glory, his kingly glory, the glory that God bestowed upon him. That's what he's talking about here. How long will you turn my glory into shame? Remember how his whole path to the throne began with his glorious victory over Goliath. And God gave him that victory. Remember, he gave the glory to God. So the people here, their rebellion against David was rebellion against God. Because they sought to overthrow the man that God had chosen to be their king. Do you imagine when you look back in 1 Samuel 18, you know the stories back there. These same disloyal people were quick to exalt David over Saul. How quick it changes, does it not? I have often said, you know, the people who, now I'm not saying it's never right or wrong to do, or right, it's wrong to do this sometimes, but sometimes, you know, it's the people who always come to the preacher and say, "Oh, preacher, that's the greatest message I've ever heard. Oh, that's a great message." And they so easily transfer all that to, "You're the worst preacher in the world." And that's what they did here with David. Because talk is cheap. That's what it is. I'd rather have you obey the preaching of God's word. Not because it's me, but obey. That's how you make me happy. Not because you tell me how great a message it is. But every once in a while you say amen. If you like it. And even if it hurts, say amen. But that's what it was. Here they were. You know, they gave allegiance to David, but how quickly they transferred their cheap allegiance to the charming son of David. Do you know that David never sought the throne of Israel? It was the Lord who removed King Saul and put David in there. David didn't seek that. And so he uses this phrase, "You turn my glory into shame." And this is insight to their specific accusation against David. You see, what they were saying, they were attacking him because of the way he, in their eyes, became king. See, they thought that he overthrew Saul, and that it was him getting his way in there. And to these people, David was getting a dose of his own medicine. Because Absalom's ambitious campaign to dethrone him, they looked at that as justice now. For his alleged, remember, we know the truth, amen. God tells us the truth in His Word about how David became king, how David did not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed, how David was loyal to Saul even when Saul was trying to kill him. God knows the truth, amen. And that's really the most important thing in all these things, even on the church level. God knows the truth. God knows the hearts. Remember Shimei, he said to David's face what the people were saying behind David's back. Go to 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16 and verse number 7. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. You see what he's doing. He's falsely accusing David of trying to overthrow Saul and destroy his family. And that was a lie. And that's what the people, that's the lie the people were saying. But we ought to take courage in this. O ye sons of men, go back to our text. How long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity? Remember this. If it's not God's will, it's just vanity, the works of man. It's worthless pursuits. They were wasting their time. They were destroying their nation for something that could not possibly come to pass. I think that's how people today are destroying nations for things they think they can bring to pass, and they will never bring it to pass because God will not allow it. Amen. Thank God for that. Could you imagine if they continued and God didn't intervene here, how many people would they have destroyed? How many lives would have been lost for no good reason? And so that's what David's saying. Repent, repent of this your vanity. Repent of this slander. Repent of destroying your nation. And then he says very clear the word leasing. And seek after leasing. And that word leasing is an old English word for lying and falsehood. Lies and falsehood. That's what leasing means. So he's saying, repent from your lying. And so it's not that we don't deal with problems. We just need to deal with them biblically, truthfully, and commit our cause unto the Lord in prayer. And you know what? God hears prayers. God answers prayers. And we know the end of the story. We know what God did for David, what God did for Absalom, to Absalom, and the judgments that God brought even on Shimei. We can look at that down the path here, down the road a little bit, not tonight. So we're going to stop here, and we'll pick up with verse 3 next week and hopefully be able to continue on in our pursuit of the Psalms. And I hope you've learned something tonight about prayer, about reacting to your problems and distresses, and maybe ask the Lord to give you the ability to turn your distresses into songs. can't do it, but God can in your heart if you let Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for this, Your Word. We thank You for the truth of the Scriptures. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You will continually work in our lives, continually work through the Psalms in our hearts, Lord. May we turn to them often. May we read them often. May we meditate upon them in the night watches, Lord. May we open the Scriptures when we're going through difficulties, when we can't sleep, when our minds are troubled, Lord. Help us to turn to the Word of God. Help us to turn to the Psalms and find truth and find comfort. Find how You work in our lives, how You want to work in our lives, and allow You to do that in every situation that we're facing. We thank You, Lord, that You are in control and that You are almighty. And that You are able to meet all of our needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Scott, come and read this, and I'm going to deal with our recording over here. The Barnett family. We'll just pray for them in a moment.
Right. The Lord is good. Easter and the Sunday after, we had 15 people attend. We're still praying for the one.